Was still the Lord. Key government business in Parliament in limbo as the Speaker of the Parliament adjourned the House indefinitely following the political stalemate over the declaration of some seats vacant.
Having regard to the public interest and the exigencies of the state of affairs in the country, honourable members, I have consulted leadership and I am exercising my discretion to decide to suspend the meeting of the House indefinitely. The House is accordingly adjourned sine die.
Plus, both the MPP and the NDC still insist they are majority in Parliament.
It is a notorious fact that we remain the majority caucus of this Parliament.
The NDC members of Parliament are in the majority in Ghana's Parliament. We've made our position and it's so clear.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, some key government business have been left in limbo after Speaker of Parliament took the decision to indefinitely adjourn Parliament with a political crisis over the declaration of some 4 seats vacant, as we know, still raging. Arben Babing acknowledged the ruling of the Supreme Court, which stayed his declaration, which has since been served on him, but said the House lacked a quorum to take decisions and suspended the House indefinitely. We'll get into the Speaker's ruling shortly. But first, though, parliamentary correspondent Kwikwa Asante was in the House and joins us with the drama that unfolded all day. Let's start from the very early morning when the whips were already trying to access the chamber.
Well, yes, Evans, the majority chief whip, Frank Anadompre, did try to access the chamber as early as 5 a.m. and he was allowed inside. And that was ordinarily contrary to a message that had been put out by the Marshal to Parliament, that the chamber will only be opened at 8 a.m. But he did get inside. Up until about 8 a.m., when military men who had been contracted by the Speaker of Parliament and Parliament as an institution came there to sweep, he was inside. So these soldiers then came in with dogs, sniff dogs, and to check the precincts of Parliament, because the Speaker had written through a deputy clerk asking for these persons to come and check that the place was safe. And that was done. And that was the time that Frank Anadompre was asked to come out. And so at that point, both of them, together with his colleague, Minority Chief Whip Kwame Agbuja, and other NDC MPs were all standing outside, and they were trading accusations at each other as the media tried to speak with them, accusing each other of trying to take undue advantage of the situation to go in there and get into the chamber. It was up until 8 a.m. when these MPs then formed the queue and entered the chamber. When they did, the MPP MPs went in there first, led by Frank Anadompre. They took the majority side of the House. And because the NDC MPs were in their numbers, numbering about 40, they overran them and took over the majority side.
But it appeared that the NDC MPs went in first. They came to Parliament in their numbers pretty early.
Yes. In fact, when the NDC MPs came there, Frank Anadompre had already been allowed to access the chamber.
One.
And then he had come out with Habib Idrisu and 2 other deputy ministers who were standing right at the entrance of the MPs, at the MPs' entrance to the chamber. So when it was 8 o'clock and they had to go in there, they went in there first. And in fact, Habib Idrisu went to sit on the chair ordinarily reserved for Alexander Afenyo-Makin as majority leader. And then the NDC MPs went to the other side, dragged Atufo-Saint's minority leader's seat to the majority side and asked him to sit on it. And then they populated the rest of the majority side. Up until Alexander Afenyomaken came in there almost 9 o'clock, talked to his leadership, and then they agreed that, listen, these NDC MPs were not willing to actually give in to them to take over that side of the house. And so, in the interest of peace, in the words of Alexander Afenyomaken, they considered themselves majority, but they wanted the speaker to do so. So this is Alexander Afenyomaken trying to, after convincing his colleagues to leave the chamber, explaining why he left.
We know there are innocent people out there, innocent Ghanaians going about their business, innocent Ghanaians in the academia, innocent Ghanaians who are struggling to get 3 square meals on the table for their families. We care about them. We understand that there is politics, but we must do it in a civil manner. We believe that the appropriate thing is to quietly yield to them and wait upon Mr. Speaker. After all, the ruling was directed at Parliament and the Speaker, not an individual MP. Yesterday, the bailiff of the Supreme Court served Parliament of Ghana through the legal directorate, the director of the legal department received the ruling of the court. So, in other words, Mr. Speaker is on constructive notice, or maybe I should say actual notice of the ruling of the court. We have to leave it there and respect Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker has been part of our democracy since 1992. He's a senior lawyer. He's practiced in our court. And I believe that even if Mr. Speaker disagrees with the Supreme Court, he knows what to do. Suffice to state, at the risk of being repetitive, that we were not disrespectful of the chair when the Speaker made his pronouncement and the majority caucus disagreed with Mr. Speaker. We didn't cause commotion here. We left quietly and told Mr. Speaker that the right place to express those grievances will be at the court. So we expect our brothers and our sisters on the NDC minority side to do the needful. But all would be for Mr. Speaker to make a final determination. The nation is looking up to Mr. Speaker. All his years in politics, this is a crucial moment for him to add weight to what we have done to preserve the peace. MPP is for peace. MPP is for peace. MPP is for peace of Ghana. We will not allow anybody to disturb the peace of the country. It is a notorious fact that we remain the majority caucus of this parliament.
And there was a lot riding on what the speaker was going to say. And yes, then he took his seat. Apparently, now that we are learning, we'll get a bit more from Afenyomaken pretty shortly. What happened when he met the speaker privately? Some deal was struck.
Yeah. So when the Speaker of Parliament took his seat, prior to that, he had met both leaders on, or the leaders on both sides, both the minority and majority leaders, to try and come to some sort of agreement. And that meeting lasted close to 20, 30 minutes. That is very long, considering how very short pre-sitting meetings usually are. And so when that meeting concluded, Alexander Afenyomaken walked through the chamber, but he did not take any seat. He walked out and left. And then Councillor Tofosin took over again. On that seat, same seat he has been sitting, the majority leader's seat, he sat there for a while, and then the Speaker of Parliament in himself walked in. They did the normal formalities, and then he zoomed right into business. When he spoke about the fact that the Supreme Court judgment and the order has since been served on him, but then he pivoted to talk about why he believed the House lacked quorum to take decisions, and for which reason he has agreed with leadership, and he has exercised his decisions to actually now adjourn Parliament indefinitely.
We're going to play you a longer version of this because you needed to appreciate the full context of what he says, because everything was riding on his words.
As you may recall, on Thursday, I informed the House, pursuant to Standing Order 18 of the Standing Orders of Parliament, on the occurrence of vacancies in the House in relation to four honorable members. Yesterday, I received a process from the Supreme Court, which is a ruling from the Supreme Court pursuant to an ex parte application directing Parliament to recognize and allow the four affected members of Parliament to duly represent their constituents and conduct full scope of duties of their offices as members of Parliament pending the final determination of a suit filed by Honorable Alexander Afenyo Markey. By Article 102 of the Constitution, 1992, and Order 64(1) of the Standing Orders of Parliament, I note that we currently have a quorum to transact business, but not to take decisions. I want to read the said Article 102 of the Constitution. It reads, "A quorum of Parliament, apart from the person presiding, shall be one third of all the members of Parliament." As presently constituted, the numbers definitely is far above one third of the members of Parliament. By Article 104, the numbers are not sufficient for us to take decisions. And I'll quote Article 104. Article 104(1) says, "Except as otherwise provided in this Constitution, matters in Parliament shall be determined by the votes of the majority of members present and voting, with at least half of all the members of Parliament present." Honourable members, we don't have at least half of all the members of Parliament present. Consequently, in view of the current circumstances, the fact that there's a question on the composition and constitution of Parliament, and having regard to the public interest and the exigencies of the state of affairs in Parliament, I will proceed to, in accordance with Standing Orders 59, adjourn the House indefinitely. That is sine die. I want to quote Standing Orders 59(1). It says, "The Speaker may, in consultation with leadership, suspend a meeting of the House indefinitely or for a period determined by the Speaker, having regard to the public interest and the exigencies of the state of affairs in the country." Honorable members, I have consulted leadership and I am exercising my discretion to decide to suspend the meeting of the House indefinitely. The House is accordingly adjourned sine die.
So this is how this ended, and while all this was happening, the NPP side were not in the chamber. They had left long ago.
Yes.
Did this clarify this very contentious issue of which side is the majority in the House?
The expectation was that once the Speaker of Parliament acknowledged that he has been served with that ruling of the Supreme Court staying his order, and that ruling was to the effect that those four MPs should be allowed to do their job, and that would mean that Alexander Afenyo Markey goes back to becoming the majority leader, because the NPP caucus wouldn't have 138. It was expectation that it will get to the point where there will be the acknowledgement of that fact. But shortly afterwards, when the Speaker adjourned and the MP started getting out, Minority Leader Dr. Kesira Tofosin insisted that his side are still in the majority.
He called the leadership of both sides.
We want to make something very clear. The NDC members of Parliament are in the majority in Ghana's Parliament. We've made our position and it's so clear. We are not changing our positions. We see ourselves as the majority. We are fortified by the Constitution and the standing orders of this House, and we see ourselves as the majority. We are grateful to the Right Honourable Speaker for doing what is right and respect the decision. We hope that the time will come that this House will be recalled and we take our position as the majority caucus. Thank you very much.
Well, we're learning a bit more about what really transpired when the leaders met with the speaker in caucus, in that chamber, just the leadership and the speaker. There's a lot that happened there. The majority leader now, Alexa Nathaniel Marking, has been giving us a bit more about what happened. He says the speaker acknowledged him as the majority leader, but also assured them both of his next actions, including broader consultations, which really is the reason why the parliament has been adjourned indefinitely. He did not clarify when he anticipates that he will finish his consultations, but Alexander Fonyomarkin gave us these exclusive details. Listen.
So at the pre-sitting meeting, he called the leadership of both sides, the majority leader. He addressed me as such when we were at the pre-sitting. Addressed the NDC leader as minority leader, and he put three issues before us. Issue number one was that as a result of his pronouncement last Thursday, knowing also that there was an issue that I had filed at the Supreme Court, he is acknowledging to us that the Supreme Court has served him with a ruling, and that he's going to announce the ruling to the House when we sit. Second, he also informed us that as a result of that information he's going to give, there will be the need for us to engage as a House. And thirdly, he said that he is aware that our colleagues on the other side have taken our seat, and that sitting, this one for emphasis, sitting in the chamber and arrangement there too is not his responsibility, is that of the clerk to Parliament. I repeat, Mr. Speaker said he is aware of the sitting in Parliament, that is our colleagues haven't taken our seat, but that is not his responsibility, that is the responsibility of the clerks, the clerk to Parliament. Okay. Then I came in to draw his attention that then he would have to speak to them to move before. Then our colleagues on the other side, led by Dr. Forsen, said, well, they are sitting there because of his earlier pronouncement. Until he makes a further pronouncement, they will not move. I engaged a clerk, and the clerk said that he did not remove my name tag from my seat, and that administratively, they acknowledge that the NDC MPP side is a majority, and so they didn't move our seat. So I reiterated to Mr. Speaker that to avoid a needless confrontation, because these are our friends. Ato and I share the same esprit de corps. Ami Agboja and I, we are friends. Ama Kofi Boa is our senior brother. I mean, I cannot foresee a confrontation all because of this constitutional lacuna of a sort. Therefore, I respectfully told Mr. Speaker that our side will yield the chamber to them for them to make, for him to make his pronouncement. And I thanked him respectfully, bowed, and then left.
Let's get the side of the NDC now. I want to bring in Roxy Nelson, Dafiamekpo, is MP for Sadai. He was on his feet today, seated on the majority side of the chamber today, and he joins us on the line right now. Roxy, thank you very much for your time here on Top Story. The Speaker of Parliament today acknowledged
that he has been served with the Supreme Court's ruling that stayed his declaration of the vacancy of these four seats. This places beyond doubt the issue of who is majority and minority, and that family, your side is back to being the minority.
Speaker did not say that. Speaker only said that he has received a process from the Supreme Court. Now, let's get to what transpired on the floor. When Speaker arrived, the matters that the Honorable Afenyo Markin spoke to as having taken place in conclave with the Speaker, I am not privy to, so I am not able to confirm or deny. But let me speak to the matters as I witness them. The Speaker made the point. Indeed, let me ask you, if the Speaker were simply to have acknowledged that I have received I've been served with the ruling of the Supreme Court and therefore I am obligated to abide by it, Speaker would have said so expressly.
No, but if he says he was served, he's served. It's binding on him.
Let me respond, please. Let's address the issues. I am saying that what Speaker did is not an acknowledgement of the fact that he is abiding by the decision. Speaker said something very instructive. He said the House lacked the decisional code. We had commencement quorum, but the decisional quorum, we could not proceed. Now, what was this decisional quorum? And if we had proceeded, we would have taken some decision. For instance, we were going to move that committees be reconstituted as the majority side. For instance, we're going to move that pursuant to the decision of the House last Thursday, the NDC now has the power under the Constitution to nominate a candidate for an election as the second deputy speaker. But those decisions couldn't be reached because we lacked the decisional quorum. These were the businesses that we intended to have conducted today. Because there were matters on the order paper that the House could have proceeded with without necessarily reaching a decision. We could have dealt with certain businesses that were hanging, for instance, laying of papers. There were a lot of bills that government had brought to the House that could have been laid. So those ones, they were not parliamentary proceedings that needed any decision to be taken on. They were just laying of papers and Speaker simply referring them to the appropriate committees.
To the decision that was served on, to the Supreme Court's decision that was served on him, what decision was served on him that he acknowledged?
I didn't hear the Speaker say so. He said he received a process from the Supreme Court.
What process did he receive?
Sorry?
What process from the Supreme Court did he receive?
A process from the Supreme Court could be the writ that was served, that was issued by Afenyo Markin.
He talks about the ruling of the Supreme Court.
Very well.
Hold on. There's only one ruling of the Supreme Court that we know of in this particular matter that says, stay your hand. In fact, he went specific beyond just saying the ruling and says, that ruling says you have to stay and allow the MPs to take their seats until the matter is determined. He told us all that.
Well, if that is what the Speaker says, then I am at a loss as to how a further consultation on this matter is necessary. But Speaker said something very, very instructive. And that was that the House was adjourned with the NDC sitting on the side of the majority without any qualms.
Yes.
He took parliamentary notice of that. There was no resistance. They didn't order the NDC to go back. So I am telling you, this matter is not ended. It's far from the ending because Parliament is subject to the Constitution. The Supreme Court is subject to the Constitution. The Executive is subject to the Constitution.
But you concede as a lawyer that once he has acknowledged receipt of that ruling, he's read out the details of that, he is bound to respect that. And if the ruling, as he himself told us, is that he stays his hand and allows the MPs who he said had vacated their seats to take their seats and represent their constituents, the status quo ante remains now.
Evans, how do you expect Speaker to abide by a
a Supreme Court ruling that was erroneously reached by an ex parte application ad infinitum. When indeed the law is settled that any order granted by an ex parte application need not exceed 9 days or 10 days.
Well, that's a matter, I guess, for the courts to decide. But as he speaks right now, it has been served on him.
That is the law.
Well, you disagree with the Supreme Court's decision. You have to challenge it in the appropriate forum. And the forum is not in Parliament.
So I am certain the appropriate processes has been initiated.
But clarify that.
As it is, yesterday, I believe so, what we engaged, I told you that the most politically sound and legally reasonable decision to be reached today would be to shut down Parliament.
Mm.
Because to take any further step will be in the supposed breach of the Supreme Court decision.
Quick clarity, you suggest that the processes have now been filed.
So in effect, it is the Supreme Court that has shut down Parliament.
Okay. You just mentioned, and I just wanted to clarify, that the processes may have been filed to challenge this in the appropriate forum. Are you indicating that there's some process underway or being filed or have been filed to seek a review or stop the Supreme Court?
I speak to the fact that contained in the ruling of the court, there's some directions that have been given some timelines.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I know that once the time is ticking, the days are counting, some steps may have been taken in compliance of that.
Okay, and thankfully, Habib Idrisu is the first Deputy Majority Whip, also joins me right now. Habib, thanks for your time here on Top Story. And very quickly, on the subject of minority majority, I've just heard of Fanyo Marking say in this particular meeting, the Speaker of Parliament addresses him as the Majority Leader. On your side, this is a matter that is settled?
What the Majority Leader said is true, but it was even more than that. When the leadership met the speaker, the leadership of both sides, both leaders were there, including Honorable Kennedy Ohinia Japon. We met the speaker at conclave. And when the speaker told us that he has been duly served, and for that matter, he is unable to proceed with what actually is going on. So for that matter, he wants to adjourn the House Senate DA for her to calm down. Then the issue was now then who sits on his right and who sits on his left. The speaker did indicated that he has not given any directives apart from whatever say. The majority leader, Afenyo Markins, told him that when we came this morning, our names tags and we were still seated on the right side of his. And then later on, the minority, the NDC caucus, they came in, they pulled the minority leadership table to come and bring it in front of that of the majority caucus. There I move the majority leader black seat and sit close to Atu Forces. So there was that banter of who sits in his right and who sits on the left. So the NDC leadership was of the view that for them, the ruling that the speaker did made them majority, and for that matter, they want to sit on the right. The speaker said he hasn't made that ruling that they should sit on the right, and the arrangement of seats in parliament is done by the clerk of parliament, and the clerk of parliament has not rearranged our sitting to make the NDC to come and sit on the right or sit on the left. So as to who sits where is the decision of the clerk at table, because they look at the numbers and make the arrangement. And if the clerk haven't been able to do that change, it means I stay.
But to the bigger point, yes, so and we had a Fanyo Marking.
Evans, let me clarify. That was part of the reason we said that if the minority will not leave the right-hand side of the speaker, we'll go into our office and listen to him, because at conclave we have already discussed that he's just coming in and to read his communication and acknowledge receipt of the court order and adjourn.
And adjourn indefinitely. That is a bigger point now. Now the House has been adjourned indefinitely. Now the speaker did not give us an indication what may trigger a recall of the House. Normally, you would know. If you're on a recess, you know that definitely that is is not indefinite necessarily, because you will return from recess. Now we don't know. We don't know if the Supreme Court decision on a substantive matter will trigger a recall, or whether, as you're now hearing, a consultation may. Do you have clarity on what will trigger a recall?
Exactly, the speaker, what he told us as leadership on conclave was that, based on what actually is going on, the diplomatic corps, the international community, civil service organization, all have interest. And he has been served with the court process that shows that the four members of parliament should be reinstated. And he wants us to cool down for him to also do some consultation. And if you look at our standing orders, based on the standing orders the speaker quoted, he can actually recall parliament without necessarily it being triggered. Or if otherwise we think that all heads are cool, we just need 41 members of parliament to trigger a recall to parliament. For if we have 41 members of parliament, 15% or so signing to say that parliament should be recalled, then it can be recalled on that basis.
I heard Afenyo Marking made the point, I think you just repeated it, that you will give the speaker the room to consult.
And
I get the sense that the main determinant of when the parliament is recalled is the conclusion of these consultations and not necessarily a decision by the Supreme Court on the substantive matter.
But you see, the speaker was unable to proceed because there is a decision or which his decision was stayed. He acknowledged it. And when he was in the chamber reading his statement, he said that, and I have a copy of his statement, he said that yesterday I received a process from the Supreme Court, which a ruling from the Supreme Court pursuant to an ex parte application directing Parliament to recognize and allow the four affected members of parliament to duly represent their constituents and conduct full scope of their duties of the office of a member of parliament, pending final determination of the suit, led by Honorable Afenyo Markins. So the speaker in this, that is paragraph 2 on his official statement that he communicated to parliament, is to the effect that, yes, these four members of parliament, the Supreme Court have said that they should be reinstated, mm-hmm. where he earlier on said that they should not be reinstated. And so for that matter, he's unable to continue in the sense that these members are members of parliament. And because of the controversy, even this morning, the general sense was as if we were coming there to have blows, to punch each other in the face or in the nose or something. But that didn't happen. So we agree at leadership conclave that, yes, he's at the agenda house, Sinidie. It is not as a result of anybody doing minority trying to come and say that they are majority or what. We agree on these issues and what the speaker was supposed to say before we came into the chamber.
Yeah, so agenda indefinitely. But what, and I just want to clarify, this is important. What will determine when this indefinite recall ends and a recall happens, an indefinite adjournment ends and a recall happens? Is it the conclusion of the consultations or the determination of the substantive matter by the Supreme Court? What's your understanding in conclusion?
Number one, based on the engagement leadership have with the speaker, is for the consultation. That is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needs to consult people. I asked him, in fact, at conclave, I asked him, Mr. Speaker, when exactly do you think that we'll reconvene based on, then he mentioned, which I can't mention on air, the number of people he want to engage. We know who he's going to talk to.
Mm.
We know who and who he's going to engage. So he told me that, he told us that based on my question, when he's done with the consultation, leadership will be carried along and we can reconvene.
But
and when we are also satisfied that the people he has mentioned to us, he's going to consult. When he is done, we engage him and we can trigger a recall.
Okay, so you'll give him latitude, but if it delays inordinately, you're saying you will then use the constitutional trigger to force him to recall the House.
Yes, to recall the House, but not to force him.
No, of course. I mean, that clause, once you get your 41 members and you get it signed, he has no choice in the matter. That's forcing him.
Yeah.
That's compelling him.
And then to also make the point that the speaker have not ruled in anywhere saying that the NDC were majority. Number two, the speaker did not say they should sit on his right-hand side, which will indicate that they are majority. The clerk at table did not change any name, sitting, and other things to say that the NDC should sit on the right. It was their own making. They came in with a mentality of fighting,
or a mentality of confrontation, a mentality of distraction. But when we realized that, we told the speaker that, especially when he told us he wanted to agenda House Senate day, and there was this fight about who sits on the right and other things. Then we said that, oh, no problem. If they want to sit on the right, the clerk at the table never said they were to sit on the right. You, the speaker, you never said they were to sit at the right. We will go and sit in our offices, and then you can go in and read your statement and then agenda House. And then we agreed. So we left the chamber from the conclave, the speaker conclave in the chamber, and we walked back to our